This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi. Hamdan yaliqu bi jalali wajhihi wa bi azim sultani. Wa sallallahu ala khairi khalqihi Muhammadin as-sadiq al-amin. المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اكتبنا منهم آمين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is befitting His divine grace and majesty. And no praise that we offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in all of His names, attributes, actions, and in His dhat, in His essence. And we send praise and blessings on His beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and His noble family and His companions, and all those who follow Him in the best way till the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us through the Khatibs every Friday. Most of us hear this over and over again. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Can we cut this down? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, O you who have attained to faith, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be in reverent awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, and die not except in a state of Islam. Do not leave this world except in full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hear this through the Khatibs every Friday. My question is, what arrangements have we made to ensure that that's what our end is going to be? Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us that as you live, you will die. In what state you live, how you spend your life, even statistically, the probability is death will come in what you spend most of your time doing. And as you die, in that state you will be resurrected. So if your whole life, that is what our deen is, that 24 hours of our life is in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with consciousness of Him, in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can hope reasonably from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the last moments when you will forget everyone, in the pangs, in the sakaratul maut, everything else fades. What comes out is what's in the qalb, what's in the heart. You see, when you squeeze a sponge, what comes out? Only that which is inside. And the most difficult moments are the moments of death, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. So what we are inside truly, that is going to come out. From that moment on, only the truth comes out, not what our appearances are outside, no matter how righteous we appear. What we are, what is the state of our qulub, of our hearts, that's what's going to come out. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that when you die with your last breath, in the kalima la ilaha illallah of shahada should be on your lips. Now if every day we spend 99.9% of our times without that on our lips, how do you expect that in the most difficult moment that's going to come out? Okay, so there is a preparation that is required. You know, these are not idle reminders. Our deen requires action. We have to prepare because we know we have a meeting coming up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks forward to the meeting with some people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to meet some people. And only those who look forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who He looks forward to meeting, and those are people who have fulfilled the rights of this deen, who have lived their lives and struggled. And we are human beings and we are weak and we have all kinds of tests, but we lead our lives in a way, striving and struggling with sincerity, with ikhlas, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain His qurb. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that on that day of judgment, لا ينفع مال ولا البنون, that your wealth and your children, that's what we spend most of our times, you and me. That's all we are doing most of the time, for most of us, إلا ما شاء الله. That they will not benefit you. إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. Except what will benefit the one who comes to Allah with a qalb that is salim, in a complete state of emptiness from all attachments, all muallaqat, ta'alluqat, except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A heart that has been emptied of all other attachments and has only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, that is the reality and the haqiqah of tawheed. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us that homes and houses in which there are figures, suwar, you know, idols or statues, and in which there are dogs, the angels of Rahmah do not enter that house. How do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter a house, my qalb, in which there are all kinds of figures of things I worship, mostly wealth, and my attachments to His created beings, whether it's my wife, whether it's my children, whether it's my friends, that I ignore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and give preference to His creation. So a qalbun salim is one that has been freed from all attachments. And this is true liberation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be His abd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by calling him His abd. See, in the dunya, when you are an abd, a slave, you are the lowest. In the sight of Allah, when you are His abd, you are the highest. So when He took him in His miraculous journey, the Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him His abd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us this ubudiyah, which cannot be fulfilled until the reality of Tawheed comes in our hearts, that all of His creation needs to be removed, our attachments, that there is no competition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates shirk. That how can my servant have something in his heart that competes with me? Now this does not mean that you do not be attached to your parents or to your children or everything that is halal, but it has to be conditional to your attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love my father and mother. Why? Because this is what my Lord loves. And He has sent ayats in the Quran of how I should treat my parents. Everything should be conditional to my tawheed, the internalization of tawheed in my heart. So how do we rectify this heart and bring it to a condition that would qualify as qalbun salim? And the Prophet ﷺ tells us in a hadith that all of you know, that everything that we do has consequences. And he gives an example that every time you do an act of disobedience or sinfulness, it leaves a mark on your heart, a black dot on your heart. And if you do not do tawbah, and you keep doing those acts, your heart turns black. Now literally, it doesn't mean it turns black. You open your heart, it's not going to look black. But in the spiritual realm, what does it mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that their sinfulness has put a barrier that is dark and impenetrable to light. What light? The nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nur of hidayah. That they see all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they do not see it. That's why we have two terms, basar, which is the sight of our eyes, and basira, which is the internal sight of our hearts. Okay? That is what is required. Now, what does that mean? That we see when no matter what happens to us, whatever happens in the world, whether it's an earthquake, whether it's a riot, you know, whether it's a tyrant, whether it's anything good or bad, with our internal eye, we see it for what it truly is. Okay? If we don't have that basira, we only can see as far as our physical eyes. Oh, it happened because of this. You know? The Jats did this in Muzaffarnagar. You know? Whatever his name is, did this in Gujarat. You know, so-and-so did this in Syria. We don't see beyond that. But when you have the basira, then you see everything as it is. So any musibah comes on you, you see why it is coming and you look beyond that. Any ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any blessing comes your way, you see where it is coming from. You don't attribute it to your own wisdom or my skills or my education and my good business decision. So it's very important for us to have a clear vision of our hearts. And that vision gets cloudy depending on our actions, what we expose our senses to. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends all of us in this world in a state of natural goodness of fitrah. And then what we are exposed to through our parents, through our environment, through our work, through our friends that we choose, it changes that. So how do we get that back? How do we polish those hearts that we can see truth as truth and falsehood as falsehood? Okay. Otherwise, we keep running after the wrong thing. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that everything has a polish, everything has a cleansing agent, and the cleansing agent of the heart is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very, very important for us to remember that. What comprises dhikr? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called the Jummah khutbah as a dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina idha nudiya lis-salatu min yawm al-jumu'ah fas'au ila dhikrillah. When, O you who believe, when the adhan of Jummah is called, then proceed or rush towards the dhikr of Allah, which is the khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Hajj as dhikr. Ayyam dhikr, ayyaman ma'dudat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls salah as dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called the Quran itself as al-dhikrul hakim. Okay? All of these are adhkar or dhikr, and especially talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, talking about His names and attributes, doing the prescribed invocations that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us, pondering on the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. That everywhere you look, there are ayat for people who have vision in their hearts. That they see everything. Every day the sun rises, they see signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time they breathe in, they feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, he warns us, he says, talking a lot, and we all love to talk, without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardens the hearts. We love to sit and gather, socialize, and we talk about everything from politics to everything else. How many gatherings are there where there is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that that hardens the heart, and then he goes on to say, and the furthest from Allah is a heart that has been hardened. So the opposite of that, to gain connectedness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be in constant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Every day, every hour, not just at the time of five salawat. Every hour, every minute, every breath, It should be with every heartbeat, because every breath is by the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every heartbeat that we are not aware of is by the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be in constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what is the healing of our hearts. That's what will prepare us. Now this is, it requires effort because we are busy in many different things. Okay. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that through his companion Hanzala, who was concerned about a situation like this. He was in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes home to his family, to halal things, enjoying his family and children. And he finds that the state of his heart, that iman that he had, goes down. And he rushes out, he says, I'm a munafiq, I'm a hypocrite, because with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm like that. 5 minutes later, I'm with my family, my state of the qalb is different. And he meets Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he asks him, why are you saying such a thing? Hanzala can never be a hypocrite. He says, this is my state. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, this is also my state. And they go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, that if you had that level of iman all the time, the angels would shake your hands in the streets and in your beds. In other words, it will go up and down. But you have to be always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we develop the attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's all of our energies, whether it's external, what we do with our bodies, with our senses, with our eyes, and all those, and our internal drives, our emotions, would be in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? That's why someone has said, if you want to know what is your status, what is your state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then look at what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's state within you, yourself. So if you are in constant shuhud, witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everywhere, and always in awe and reverence and tawakkul and taqwa, then you know that that's your state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you are in a state of ghafla, and you never remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have time for you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاكُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. And don't be among those who forget Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them forget themselves. What does that mean? Forget themselves as their human beings. They are special creatures of Allah. They will be like animals, like everybody else. They will forget who their rank is and what their purpose in life is. And what is the status Allah has given them? Now most of us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala episodically. What is the closest a servant is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَهُوَ السَّاجِدْ, when he is in salah. Now let you and me look within ourselves and see, I am present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My face is towards the Qibla. Is my heart facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are my thoughts, am I with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my qalb, even in salah? If I'm conducting business, if I've got everything else, I have to do this, and I'm making a list of things to be done as soon as the salah is over, then even in salah, I am in a state of ghafla. Okay. Sometimes we are reading Quran and our thoughts are elsewhere. Sometimes we are doing tasbihat and we are counting and we don't even know what we are saying. We are not aware. So our internal energies have to be focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we raise our hands in dua and we are always in a hurry in dua. You know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, if we do dua for 10 minutes, people behind you will feel what? Something is wrong. Because I need to go. I need to rush. Rush to something better. You know, there is a narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, has a conversation with us in salah. You know, When we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Hamadani Abdi, and so on and so forth. The whole hadith is then in Sahih Muslim. But when the servant is standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his wajh towards his servant, his attention towards him. And then if the servant turns his face away, it doesn't mean he's doing this, but his qalb turns away to other than Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ila ayn abdi, to where my servant? Ila khayri minni, to something better than me? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that 3 times, and if the person does not focus back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away. Who is the loser? Subhanallah. So, we need to bring life into our ibadat. See, we perfect the external, the fiqh aspects. How do I bend? Is my wudu perfect? That's very, all of that is very, very important, but it is not sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at the exteriors. He looks at what's in the heart. So it's very, very important that we train ourselves to be in constant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, he compares, he gives us an example, with the example of those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the example of the living and the dead. In another narration he says, the houses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered, and those in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not remembered, is like the example of the living and the dead. So, we have to be living. Our ibadat have to be living so that they can be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every act of ibadah is a gift we are presenting to our Rabb. Ya Allah, here's my salah. Now let's look back after every salah. Let's look back after. We have to do muhasabah after Jummah. Was my salah of the quality that it is befitting that the angels should present it, that Ya Rabb, your servant so and so has sent this as a gift to you? If not, then we have to work on it. The first thing that we need to work on in this project of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to improve the quality of our salah. Yeah. Yes, it's important to do a lot of nawafil. But each of those nawafil, the extra, should be done with focus, not to count numbers. You know, I did 60 rakahs. It's not the numbers. If you do 2 rakah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, a person who performs 2 rakah perfectly will enter Jannah. 2 rakah in your whole lifetime. But it has to be at a certain standard. Today we look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the virtues of salah, that it stops you from fahsha wal munkar. Okay? From evil actions and, you know, other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. But yet we see people who are praying 5 times a day and they are committing major kabair, including lying and other things, cheating. It's not that the salah doesn't have the power, but their salah is not of the quality that brings that effect. So one thing that we all need to work on, myself first, is focus on every salah. You see, it is narrated by many of our salaf, especially about Zainul Abidin radiallahu anh, that whenever the adhan used to be called, his face used to become pale. You know, as if he's scared. And they used to ask him, you are from the Ahlul Bayt, what happens to you? He says, don't you know who I'm going to be standing in front of? Today when adhan is called, what do? We continue talking. We don't even honor that call by stopping talking and doing what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. You repeat what the muazzin says and say this and finish by making this dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, this will guarantee you my intercession on the day of judgment. And we are too busy. So every step when we go for wudu, we have to be conscious. I'm preparing to stand in front of Rabbul Alameen. That's when we, just like we are washing, we should be washing our qulub, hearts, from all other concerns. This thing is, I have to, doesn't matter. Right now, I have no time for anyone or anything except Allah. I have to prepare myself. When we stand with reverence and awe. We don't stand, what is khushu'? Person fixing his amama, somebody scratching here, sisters fixing the hijab. In salah, that is lack of khushu. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so he saw somebody moving excessively in salah, and he says, if his heart, what did he say? If his heart was in khushu, his body would also be in khushu. He should stand like a statue. Because you stand in front of Allah. You know these guards stand in front of Buckingham Palace? They stand, nothing moves. Fly can come and sit on their nose or go up their nostril. They will not move. Why? Because they're standing in front of a brick build or stone building in which the queen is not even there. And we stand in front of the King of Kings. Malikul Muluk. So have that reverence, that awareness of Allah. Now it's not going to just suddenly come when I stand in salah. Now I am. Because we are in salah, what we are outside of salah. If we've got all the world's fikr, do you think it will suddenly go away magically just because we say Allahu Akbar? No. So we have to fix our life outside and come in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all moments. Then our quality of salah will improve. That's the first step. So, what is meant by khushu? That means you are so aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it makes everything, you are blind to everything else. Just like when a real bright light comes on you, you can't see anything else. That's what it should be, that our hearts should feel the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes you forget everything else. That's khushu. And that has to be developed. And there is an effort. The sahaba made effort. Did they have distractions in their salah? Of course. We have many narrations. Okay, many narrations. We don't have time to go into them. Of what kind of issues that they had in salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who have attained to faith, remember Allah, do dhikr of Allah kathira, in abundance. Most times when the word dhikr of Allah comes in the Quran, it comes with this adjective kathira, abundance. This word has not been used with any other act of ibadah. It's not salah kathira, hajj kathira, zakah, sadaqah. Only dhikr kathira means unlimited, as much as you can, as much as you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. These are those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying on their sides. Which means all times, all positions, wherever you are, as much as you can, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I was saying earlier, most of us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala periodically. Do you know the interesting thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one place, He's describing a type of people. He says, they come to salah, yura'una an-nas, to show people. And they stand, waqamu kusala, lazily, you know, salah time, you know, drag myself up. And then what does he say? وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they do not remember Allah except a little. He does not say they don't remember Allah at all. He says they remember Allah but little. And who is this characteristic of? He calls them the munafiqun, the hypocrites. They remember Allah little. By that definition, I'm a munafiq. Because I don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as He deserves. You see? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we have a beautiful deen, the perfect deen. We have the most perfect Asdaqul Kalam Kitabullah, the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the most perfect of all of Allah's creation as our example, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And He has shown us how to be in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has shown us how to gain qurb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is up to us to act on those steps. Now, as I said before, it's to be done gradually. It's not going to suddenly, you know, you are not going to become Hasan al-Basri tomorrow. And I'm not going to be like that. But we have to make a concerted, regular effort to work towards that goal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that a person who starts on that journey, even if he dies the next day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the reward of having reached the destination. You know, like that hadith of the person who had murdered 100 people who set out to rectify himself. He died on the way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy overtook him. And we know the details of that. So we make that sincere effort. We do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our ghafla, the time that we have spent without His remembrance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the dhakirin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us in the Quran that وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ عَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. That those men who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again the same adjective, kathira, in abundance, and those women who do the same, for them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared His maghfirah, His forgiveness, and an ajr, a reward that Allah al-Azim calls as azim. Allah is your reward. Okay? Allah is the reward. So, we need to start on that, working on the quality of, practically speaking, on the quality of our salah. We need to sit in the prescribed, set some time every day, time and place, preferably after Fajr, for reading the Quran. Whatever you can, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, regularly. Okay? We need to sit after each salah. Okay? For the dhikr that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prescribed. It's on the wall in that section. And it takes 5 minutes. We have to get out of the habit of rushing from salah. Salaam alaikum, and gone, like the jets fired under us. That we are running off to some. There is nothing better to run to. Sit for a few minutes in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prescribed adhkar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the morning adhkar and the evening adhkar. He has taught us to do certain tasbihat and tahleel and tahmeed and takbir, that we do those in the morning and we send salah and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this is available in the books, and we can sit together perhaps tomorrow or something and go over all of this so that we can start doing these things, because it comes from practice. It comes from doing. And then we have the special, what I call situational adhkar, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. When you leave the house, you do this. When you enter the masjid, you do this. When you sit on your ride, you do this. When you look in the mirror, you do this. When you go, situational adhkar. That we learn those, and that's how 24 hours we will be in consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the asbab of cleansing the heart and making the vision clear. And what does that do? That when you are in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when then you see everything, you understand the qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it do to your heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَعِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And indeed, it's in the dhikr, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you find اطمئنان, tranquility, peace in your heart. No matter what happens around you, you are at peace, you're not bothered. And the opposite of that, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, and the one who turns away from my remembrance, فَأَنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةٍ دَنْكَ, his life will be made constricted. Stress, anxiety, depression, nervous breakdown. What's happening? What's happening? What's going to happen? Worry about everything. So we have a choice. You can be at peace at all times, or you can be stressed out, as they say. You know, the biggest problem in the West is stress. And this has now become the West, because this time when I've come to India, I've seen very little difference between what the West is and what this is. And everybody is racing in a direction which is opposite to what leads to success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us two paths. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, and I've guided them to two paths. There's the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path towards Allah's pleasure, the path of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of dying with the kalima, and there is a path of enjoyment and having a good time, and they both have their destinations, and you know that better than me. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are always in remembrance of Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are always grateful to Him. And we should always be asking and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, make me what You would like me to be. Make my qalb pure that You are pleased with me. And make my ending better than my beginning. And take me in a state of absolute and complete submission, loving submission to You and to Your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a state of obedience. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.